Bill Bixby and Leslie Ann Down in Agatha Christie's Murder is Easy. Special guest stars Olivia de Havilland and Helen Hayes. A train speeds through green countryside. There's a forest to one side of the tracks. Inside the train, a suitcase sits high up on a luggage rack. It's covered in different coloured stickers and tags. Sitting below the suitcase is a man. He wears spectacles and a brown cardigan. He reaches over to tap numbers into a calculator. Lying next to the calculator is an open briefcase with papers on the top. The man frowns and taps his pen on a pad of paper, and then on his nose. A look of frustration crosses his face as he puts the pen down, then stares out of the window. The train arrives at Wychwood under Ash station, based on the novel by Agatha Christie. The man leans out of the window and spots a newspaper headline which reads, "Derby Result." As the train pulls to a stop, he opens the door for an elderly lady who scurries across the platform. She wears a long winter coat and a straw hat.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you're so kind. Thank
you. Sure, here
we go. I was so afraid I was going to miss it. I meant to have gone up this morning, but then, of course, the morning train would have been crowded. What with the Derby?
You wouldn't happen to know which horse won.
The Derby? Oh, let me think. I've been so upset with this dreadful business.
Maybe Juju. Jujube the second.
I don't think it was Juju. They said he hadn't a chance.
My computer says he does. I programmed all the variables, the jockey, the horse, the track conditions, everything, and each time it came up the same, Juju. I'm sorry. I do get a little carried away. Probably don't even know what I'm talking about.
You make it sound so exciting. But I'm sure an old muddlehead like me couldn't begin to grasp anything about computers.
Oh, sure you could. You see, it's only a question of probabilities. Now look, imagine you have a jigsaw puzzle, only some of the pieces are missing. All right, you take the pieces you have and you feed them into the computer, remembering that the pieces are numbers, and then the computer will tell you what the missing pieces probably look like.
His book.
Oh, then it isn't a matter of absolute certainty?
If it were, I'd be rich.
I'm sure you do very nicely with your winnings.
Oh, the Derby. No, you see, I did that just for fun. I'm a researcher at MIT near Boston. I'm Luke Williams, by the way.
And I'm Lavinia Fullerton. I gather you're on holiday?
Yes. This is my first tour of Europe, and I am beginning to see what it is I have been missing.
Ah, you could develop other passions then.
Yeah.
Just as well, perhaps. You know, Alexander Pope says, "One master passion in the breast, like Aaron's serpent, swallows up the rest."
Essay on Man, Epistle 1.
Epistle 2.
She smiles kindly. The train speeds through lush green countryside.
It's hard being alone, I know. Of course, I do have Wonky Poo. My cat, you see. Beautiful. But he's had such a painful ear lately. And he was missing this morning. I simply couldn't leave until he was found.
The train slows down.
Then why are we stopping? I'm so late as it is.
Lavinia frowns with worry. Luke opens the window and peers out.
Well, I don't see anything.
Dear, well, I can only hope they don't keep usual office hours at Scotland Yard.
Scotland Yard.
Oh, I'm sure it's safe to tell you. You see, our constable at Wychwood is used to dealing with traffic problems and even with dogs who foul the footways. But I feel certain he is just not the man to deal with, well, with murder.
Murder?
Oh, yes. After the third time, one knows.
He stares at her, returning to his seat.
Three murders?
At least three, that I know of. It's the look, you see. That terrible, mad look on a killer's face before striking. I saw it first with Major Horton's wife, and she died. And then there was Harry Carter and Tommy Pierce. And I feel certain that Dr. Humbleby will be next. And the terrible thing is that if I told him, he wouldn't believe me. Nor would our constable. But it's Scotland Yard.
A headline reads, Jujube wins it.
Now, you're sure? I can't help you find a cab. Just get in London.
No, thank you. It's quite all right. Oh, look, that's your horse.
Oh, wait till Jimmy sees that.
Well, I must be off. It's such a pleasure. Thank you.
Pardon me, Miss Fullerton.
He hands her his book on probability.
Oh, Professor Williams, it's enough to know that you actually wrote it. I couldn't think of taking it from you.
Please. It's dedicated to my Aunt Mary, and she never even saw it.
In that case, I shall treasure it.
She clutches it as she goes.
Miss Fullerton, about this murder business?
You know, at first I feared you didn't believe me.
Well, think of it in terms of probabilities. Now, it'd be pretty tough for someone to try and get away with all those murders.
Oh, forgive me, Professor, but that's where you're in error. You see, the person in question is just the last person anyone would suspect. And so long as no one suspects you, murder is easy.
She waves goodbye and walks off underneath a sign which reads, Marylebone. A car jerks to a stop and a man rushes out towards Luke.
Hey! Luke! Ha-ha! Welcome to London!
Jimmy, how are you? Did you see those derby results?
Did I see them? I already have a computer lined up so that you can pick me out a winner during the Ascot meeting.
No, not me. No, this is my first vacation in years. I have no intention of sitting in a computer room and doing the same thing.
A traffic warden is writing out a ticket by Jimmy's car. Luke watches as they talk.
Just go and look at this one, because...
Luke looks up, startled, and rushes towards the sound of the crash. A crowd of people are gathered in the road. Luke begins to run towards them. As he pushes through, he sees his book on probability lying on the floor. It's covered in blood. A black cab drives along a wide street. Luke and Jimmy come out of a building.
I can't help it. My curiosity.
Luke, I'm sorry your Miss Fullerton got herself applied to the pavement like that. And I really do think it's terribly decent of you to want to go to the funeral, but I have lined up a couple of absolute beauties. One's got a yacht. And I thought, as you're no longer involved with Nancy...
Yeah, but Jimmy, do you know why I am no longer involved with Nancy? Because Nancy said to me I was more involved with my theories than I was with her, and a number of other ladies have said the same thing.
That's why you want to go to the funeral?
It's just that this lady got through to me, and I'm very curious about Dr. Humbleby. Jimmy, look, a lady is going to Scotland Yard. She is going to identify a murderer, and then she is killed. Now, that defies the theory of probability.
Luke, you can't believe her story. This country is teeming with these dotty old dears full of direst imaginings. They're a type. Stout shoes, capacious handbag. Getting warm? Probably had a budgerigar as well, or a cat.
Wonky poo. I rest my case.
Luke scowls at Jimmy as they get into a car. Jimmy watches him and sighs.
Oh, all right, I'll take you to your funeral at Wychwood then, but I shall definitely expect you to come up with the Gold Cup winner at the Royal Ascot for me.
He spins the car round and speeds off down the street. A policeman rides a bicycle through an idyllic village. He stops by a church where a funeral is taking place.
I will give unto him that is athirst to the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Luke and Jimmy stand apart from the mourners.
And so, the time has come for us to say our last goodbye to our dear friend, Lavinia Fullerton. And indeed, you have all been good friends to her. Mr. Abbott, who served her well as a legal advisor for many years. Major Horton, and you are remembering today, I know, how faithfully Miss Fulton attended your wife in her last illness.
He smiles at the Major.
Mr. Aylesworthy?
The bearded man wears a dark blue shirt and a casual jacket.
Mr. Aylesworthy, And Miss Wainfleet, of course. Honoria, how well I remember you and Lavinia as young ladies. With Clarence Humbleby. With your father too, Bridget dear. God rest his soul.
A pretty woman in a black hat gazes sadly. The man next to her clears his throat.
Ah, yes, certainly, of course. Lord Easterfield. Always a fine friend to all, I'm sure.
Jimmy rushes off as the service ends. Luke runs after him. A mustachioed man follows behind them.
Hey, Jimmy, will you slow down? I want to talk to them.
That old snob's gaining on us.
No,
Mr. Lorimer!
Lord Easterfield!
So it was you at the funeral. Is Lady Barbara not with you? How is she?
Mama's very well.
Splendid. Well, come along to tea.
Oh, don't think that's possible.
Nonsense, of course it's possible. It's perfectly possible. Look, I only just
Gordon,
live up the road.
Dear,
what have you got to do?
Really, you mustn't insist. I'm Bridget Conway, Lord Easterfield's secretary.
Jimmy Lorimer. And Luke Williams.
Bridget is the woman in the black hat.
Bridget, Mr. Lorimer's coming to tea.
Gordon, please. I gather Miss Fullerton was a friend.
No, actually, we came to see somebody.
That's right. A duty call for Mama, really. An old acquaintance of hers. A fellow called Humbleby.
Dr. Humbleby? Oh, dear.
Well, you're out of luck there. Humbleby's dead.
Jimmy frowns.
And I feel certain that Dr. Humbleby will be next.
Jimmy's car pulls up on a long drive outside a huge white house.
Now, come on. I'm the expert on probability, so don't tell me that Humbleby just happened to drop dead right on schedule. I'm not leaving till I find out what's going on around here.
Oh, very well. But you can't simply just waltz into a poky little English village and start asking questions all round. You'll stick out a mile. We'll just have to try and think of some plausible reason for your being here. But don't expect me to stay.
Inside, Lord Easterfield pours two drinks and hands one to Jimmy.
I knew you'd come after all. Tang Dynasty, I believe. Aren't they all?
Luke puts his hand out, but Lord Easterfield walks past him with the drink. Luke sits down next to Bridget, who's drinking tea.
Well, it's too bad about Dr. Humbleby.
Well, Humbleby was a muddle-headed old fool.
That means he disagreed with Gordon.
Well, he would oppose me on the question of our water supply. If only you'd taken the trouble to read my editorials on the subject. But no, stubborn as a mule.
Now, Gordon, I'm sure we're all very sorry he's dead.
Well, you have no reason to grieve at any rate, my dear. But you can't oppose the will of Providence. Here's old Humbleby gets a mere scratch, and within 3 days he's dead of it.
I expect it had less to do with Providence than with blood poisoning. He simply neglected his condition, that's all, as doctors often do, oddly enough.
I shan't say any more. Couldn't bear Lady Barbara to think ill of me.
Actually, Mama hardly knew Dr. Humbleby. It was Luke that was so eager to come to Witchwood, wasn't it, Luke?
They stare at him.
Was it really? I must say, you don't look like our usual witchcraft enthusiast. But we get so few Americans.
Well, you've come to the right place for it. Of course, I think all this witchcraft business is rather absurd.
How did you know that I was here to study witchcraft?
Oh, what else could induce anyone to come to Witchwood?
Oh, but Luke's thrilled. Always been keen on the stuff. Doing a book on... how's it go, Luke? About death, anyway.
Oh. well... Ancient burial customs.
Of course, we were going to go on to Stonehenge for the Druid Festival, but now I'm not certain. Perhaps one should tarry. I trust there are comfortable lodgings in the village?
Lodgings? Nonsense. You stop here, of course.
That's very handsome of you, Lord Easterfield, to take Luke in like that. I shall be quite envious.
Would you mean that you're not staying here?
Oh, Luke, don't forget about Ascot. Mama's got us places in the Royal Enclosure.
The Royal Enclosure?
I say, I don't suppose you'd... You see, Mama's having a little party afterwards.
Jimmy, I can't stay here.
No, anyway, so dreary, these parties. All those crowned heads elbowing one.
My dear boy, of course you shall stay. You must stay. You'll stay.
He knocks his drink back and Bridget looks curiously at Luke. They file out of the room.
That was a very nice dinner.
All right, Avery, I'll look up later.
You're going up, Gordon?
Yeah, I've got to review the article assignments, but show Mr. to his room.
Thank you.
Gordon's so serious about his work. He owns a few weekly newspapers.
Well, he seems to know what he's doing.
Oh, yes. One's not made a lord for nothing, you know. He really is a man of a great many gifts.
She glances at a statue next to her.
Except perhaps in the aesthetics department. Oh, there's no accounting for taste, is there?
Well, they're all rather interesting.
Abominable is more like it. But Gordon will redecorate. He's renovated the whole place bit by bit since he took it over from my family.
You don't mind?
Would it matter? Anyway, it was a long time ago.
They walk along a plush, pink-walled corridor full of antique ornaments and vases. She opens the door to a softly lit bedroom.
They're Gordon's. Perhaps they'll do till your friend sends your things.
Oh, sure, it's fine. I like the room.
Used to be mine. I'm down the hall now.
Oh, then you do live here. I mean, you're a secretary.
And his fiancée as well.
Ah.
Her face hardens.
And now you're wondering if it's usual to live in the house of one's fiancée.
I'm sorry. I have a big mouth.
I'm afraid you'll be on your own tomorrow. Gordon and I leave early for London.
She marches back down the corridor and through a door on her left. Luke watches her, biting his lip. He goes back into his room, closing the door behind him. He sighs and leans against the door. Luke emerges from his room, dressed in pyjamas and carrying a wash bag. He slings a towel over his shoulder and freezes as he sees Bridget coming out of her room, dressed in a coat and hat. He tiptoes after her and leans over the banister of the spiral staircase to watch her. He goes over to a window and slowly pulls the curtain aside. He spots her throwing a small handbag into a maroon convertible and driving away.
And so long as no one suspects you, murder is easy.
Daytime. Luke walks down a pretty country road surrounded by fields. It's a clear day. Luke repeatedly glances behind him. Bridget's red car comes swerving round a tight bend straight towards Luke. He leaps out of the way and the car stops suddenly beside him.
What the hell are you doing?
Hop in.
No, thanks. I sort of like being alive.
You're quite safe. I never have accidents.
He slides uncomfortably into the seat, and she speeds off. She wears a hat and glasses, which she takes off as she talks.
Decided to stay and help. How's the research coming?
I was just in the village, and I learned something. Village folk are suspicious of strangers.
That's why you need my help. I know. We'll simply say you're my cousin. All right?
Oh, please, I don't want to bore you with all this.
But I expect to be bored. It's de rigueur. I am in training to be Lady of the Manor.
I gather there have been several funerals lately.
Yes, it is rather odd, so many accidents. Let's see, there was Harry Carter. He was drowned in the river, owned the pub. Naturally, Gordon said he deserved it for being not only a drunk, but a socialist. And Tommy Pierce fell out of a window.
And Dr. Humbleby.
Fancy dying from a scratch. Oh, of course, Miss Fullerton.
Another accident.
Well, perhaps she doesn't count, as she was killed in London.
By a reckless driver.
She frowns and they swerve onto a long drive. A sign outside reads, Ash Manor, the Easterfield Collection. House closed today.
What
here. I thought you were going to help me.
Really? I don't understand why he didn't come here in the first place. It's his own museum, a hobby.
Miss Wayne Fleet, the curator, knows absolutely everything.
Hello. Miss Wayne Fleet. Miss Wayne Fleet. I brought you Luke Williams, a sort of cousin of mine.
Oh, yes. I saw you at poor Lavinia's funeral, didn't I? I've got a dreadful cold. Caught it from my housemaid, Amy.
You really should take care of that.
I know, but I wanted to take care of this new exhibit instead, though I can't see what Lord Easterfield has in mind. But he's so keen on modernizing.
He must have brought these things from that laboratory he visited.
It made me quite shiver just to hear him describe it. All those deadly germs and cultures.
Luke, remember I mentioned about Tommy Pierce?
Yes.
Well, this is the window he fell from while cleaning it. Luke is doing a book on death rites or something, witchcraft anyway, and I thought you might be able to help him.
But how intriguing. Yes, we've quite a history that way. Goes back to pre-Roman times. Of course, our most famous witch was actually a warlock.
Oh, what was her name?
It was Harold, I think. Miss Wayne Fleet, you should be home in bed. Don't you agree, Luke?
Yes, absolutely. This can wait.
Luke smiles kindly at her. Outside, the three walk alongside the building.
Yes, Tommy fell from that window onto the flagstones there. Quite horrible.
And you found him?
No, it was Mr. Abbott, the solicitor. We'd all gone off to the charity bazaar. Remember, Bridget? Poor Tommy. I'm sorry to say that no one liked him very much.
He was an infuriating little snoop.
I'm sure it was very good of Lord Easterfield to keep him on after Tommy was so impertinent to him.
Well, you know Gordon.
Such a pity. Lord Easterfield's kindness turning into tragedy like that.
In a plush room, a cat sits on a table by a birdcage. It jumps down as the three enter.
You stay for tea.
Miss Wayne Fleet looks around the room.
Amy! Amy! Where is that girl?
I'll go. Amy, we're wanting tea.
I'm afraid my housemaid is quite a lazy girl. Wasn't even up this morning when I left. Oh, you would love to get at my little bird. Amy Wonky Poo.
Wonky Poo?
Yes. Lavinia asked me to watch him the day she went to London. He had a bird infection.
I can't find Amy anywhere.
Upstairs.
About her old tricks again. Gordon gave her no end of lectures about staying out late.
You're sure she came home?
Oh, yes. Was awakened by a noise very late.
He tries the door.
She must be in there.
Luke frowns and bashes at the door with his shoulder. Outside, Luke climbs up onto the roof. Bridget and Miss Wainfleet watch from the ground as he scrambles up. Bridget wrings her hands anxiously.
It's that one there. The little skylight. That's it.
He crawls over.
Oh, dear, I do hope she's all right.
Luke hauls himself up to the window and his face drops as he looks into the room. Later, a sketch of a young girl is pinned to the wall. Amy lies lifeless in her bed. A doctor checks her pulse, closes her eyes and pulls a sheet over her face.
Perhaps she did it on purpose. She was awfully torn up about some love affair a while back.
Come, you know, Amy. Always several men on a string. In fact, she's just broken off with Mr. Ellsworthy.
Curious. No sign of anything.
The doctor closes his case. A policeman watches Luke pick up a bottle.
Could you not touch anything, sir?
It's only a cough mixture. I prescribed it myself.
Luke hands the bottle to the doctor, who places it inside his jacket.
Don't suppose you notice the needle marks on her arm, Dr. Thomas?
I did manage to notice them. Thank you very much, Constable Reed. I put them there myself. Amy's cold would linger, and I thought she might be run down. Took a blood sample.
But there must be a half dozen marks on there, sir.
Quite. Amy had what's commonly called floating veins. Always takes several tries to insert the needle properly in such cases.
Embarrassing for you, sir. All that stabbing about. Still, we don't know that she didn't make one of those marks herself, do we?
What are you suggesting, Constable?
Drugs, miss. It's a common problem these days.
Amy?
Rarely, Constable. I'm something of an expert on narcotics. If Amy were an addict, I believe I'd have known.
Always the first time, eh? Now, Miss Wainfleet, I understand she frequented rock concerts in London.
Oh, well, that's proof positive, isn't it? Rock concerts.
Please, miss. Mustn't touch things.
How very odd. So white. Not at all a flattering shade for Amy.
The face compact lies open on the bedside table where Bridget dropped it. White powder spills out. Constable Reed sniffs the powder and rubs it between his fingers. He looks up thoughtfully and passes the compact to Dr. Thomas.
Here, have a look, sir.
Dr. Thomas places some of the powder on the tip of his tongue.
Heroin.
The constable collects his bicycle.
Dreadful business, these drugs. Still, I expect it's just routine for you, isn't it, sir? You've been an American.
Luke frowns as he watches Constable Reed ride away.
Love your squad car.
Constable Reed stops momentarily, but he doesn't turn round and continues on his way.
I wonder, what's the probability of five people dying suddenly in a town of this size? Six counting Amy.
And I wonder what all this has to do with your study on witchcraft. I want a straight answer, Luke. Why did you really come here?
Major Horton walks three bulldogs.
Heel! Heel! Heel Nero! Heel! Heel Nero!
The Major walks over a footbridge. He pauses as he spots Bridget and Luke approaching, then continues on his way.
Must be joking. I mean, who would want to murder all those people?
I don't know, but Miss Fullerton did, and that is why she's dead. She said the guy was crazy.
Perhaps it was one of your warlocks at work.
All right, all right. How was I to know that warlocks were male witches? Let's hope that Miss Wainfleet is not as sharp as you are.
She's sharp enough to be suspicious about Amy, anyway. So what are we saying? That some man doped Amy and then planted the compact to make it appear as if she overdosed.
But how did he get into the room? The door was locked from the inside.
Well, any fairly strong man could have got in through that window just as you did.
Wait. Amy knows the guy. She brings him home. He kills her. He leaves the compact and then he goes out the window.
Better.
But why the compact? Why not a syringe?
He slips on the bridge.
Careful. We already lost Harry Carter off this bridge. Unless he was pushed. Oh, this whole thing is so bizarre. I mean, I've lived all my life here. If there really is a killer, and he really is mad, then I should have some idea.
Bridget, there is a killer. And if we don't do something, he's going to go right on killing.
She stares into the distance.
What?
Of course.
What?
Come on, Luke.
What?
Come on.
Witchcraft? No, I have a few amulets and such for the tourists, of course.
Interesting, Mr. Ellsworthy.
Yes, I've just got in a few oriental things. Perhaps you'd be good enough to tell his lordship, Miss Conway.
I shall. What is that?
It's a bong, used for smoking hash.
You may be the only soul in Witchwood who would know that. As this one's quite old. It's possibly 19th century.
Must have been the sort of affair that Coleridge would have used.
No, Coleridge used opium. Very different sort of thing to hashish. Xanadu, you know? Divine madman, Coleridge, thanks to opium. Sanity's such a bore, don't you think?
I mean, it takes a touch of madness to see life through a new and entrancing angle.
He gazes out of the window.
At least so one imagines. I know very little about the artistic temperament.
Oh, you're too modest, Mr. Ellsworthy. Those sketches you did of Amy Gibbs were really very good.
He smiles.
Yes, well, now, Amy would make a very pretty subject for anyone.
You think so? I've always found her rather common. Certainly not the sort to whom a man would want to lose his heart. Well, she'd be sure to break it, wouldn't she?
Yes, yes, I suppose that's so.
Bridget, what a thing to say about poor Amy. After all, she's dead.
Dead?
He was in love with Amy, and he knows enough about dope to kill someone with it. And he's not very well liked. And that's all I know about Ellsworthy, except that he's generally pretty weird.
Oh, that's brilliant, Professor Williams. They're all pretty weird, except Bridget.
Okay, now let's look at the victim for a minute. Amy. She was young and pretty. She was a man chaser. She was unreliable. Bridget said she worked here until Easterfield got in a hassle with her.
Luke pauses the dictaphone.
Wait a minute.
He scribbles some notes.
Wait a minute. What about Easterfield? He also had a hassle with Dr. Humbleby? And Tommy?
He screws up his face.
No. No, no, it's just too improbable. Oh, come on, think. Gotta do better than this. People are getting killed.
He takes off his glasses, rubs his eyes, and turns out the lamp. Daytime. Luke visits the Easterfield collection.
Miss Wainfleet?
Luke walks into the exhibition room. Miss Wainfleet isn't there. Luke takes his glasses out of his pocket and puts them on as he inspects the window Tommy Pierce fell out of. He bends down to look at the windowsill and lifts the sash window open. He leans out and spots Mr. Ellsworthy carrying a large cardboard box across the patio towards the garden. Someone climbs the red spiral staircase up to the Easterfield collection room. Luke leans out, looking at the flowerbed below. He tries to see round the corner, where Mr. Ellsworthy has disappeared. The person enters the collection room and approaches Luke as he sits on the windowsill, his upper body hanging out over the concrete. Two hands approach, and Miss Wainfleet grabs Luke.
Oh, Mr. Williams! Oh, how frightful! Oh, I must be mad! Do you know I saw you there at the window and I took it in and I said you were going to fall.
That's all right.
Oh, you must stick me in this thing.
That's all right. You're much stronger than you look. Please, Miss Wilson, please sit down.
Oh.
Don't cry.
Oh, no, I shan't. Oh. I've seen it so often in my mind, you know. Tommy going over. And with Amy and everything. Oh. Oh, dear.
It's all right.
Well. You've come about your research, of course. And I do have some things for you.
Miss Wainfleet.
He holds her hands.
We have to talk.
Later.
Poor Lavinia. Did she say who the killer is?
No, she didn't. But I think you have some idea.
She looks away.
Miss Wainfleet. The day Miss Fullerton was killed, do you remember anything at all about that day? Anything unusual?
No. Let me think. Lavinia came by with Wonky Pooh, asked me to watch him. And of course I agreed, as I was just by the fire all that day anyway. I was coming down with this cold, you know. And Amy was in bed with her cold. Oh, yes. Dr. Humblebee came by to look in on her in the late afternoon.
Dr. Humblebee, not Dr. Thomas.
No, Dr. Thomas was away that day. At the Derby, I believe. They sometimes treated one another's patients. And Clarence, Dr. Humbleby, you know, he said, I might as well have a look at that ear of Wonky Poo's as well. That was like him. Such a nice man. Oh, dear. That must have been the last time I ever saw him alive.
Well, should you decide to tell me who you suspect?
Yes, I'll think on it. And thank you for coming to me. It's a relief to know it isn't just me, that I'm not crazy or growing senile quite yet.
Senile? No, I wouldn't worry about that for decades, Jan.
He picks up a photo sitting on a dresser. It shows a young couple.
Yes, it's I. Quite plain, even then. But youth is everything, isn't it?
Who's the man?
Why, it's Gordon, you know. My family was so scandalized when we became engaged.
You were engaged to Lord Easterfield?
Long ago. Long before he was Lord Easterfield. Such a promising boy. I was so proud of his spirit, his determination. Age does things to people, Mr. Williams. Still, perhaps my family were wrong.
She gazes down sadly. Luke tucks the photo under his arm and leans down to gently kiss her on the cheek. She smiles at him in surprise. Luke's in his room reading. He opens the door to Bridget, who's carrying a large suitcase.
Your things, sir.
Thanks, I'll drink.
She watches from the door as he rummages through the suitcase and pulls out a glass bottle.
From a colleague in Greece, Ouzo. Where is his lordship, by the way?
Oh, he'll be in town very late, putting his paper to bed. Gordon's a very hard worker, rather admirable, I think. In fact, he's away much of the time.
Well, it must get kind of lonely.
It's the price I pay for the freedom to do whatever I want.
Wonder if it's worth it.
Are you asking me?
No. I've been asking myself that lately. You see, I'm kind of at the crossroads. I've spent my whole life in the academic world, and I love it. It's a safe retreat, and I get to do exciting and interesting work, and nobody bothers me. No hassles, no trivial details.
And no human contact.
He uses the lid from an urn as a glass.
Yes, well, that never used to bother me before. But there is this man in my department. His name is Harry Ludwig. He's about 50 years old. You say hi to him. He's stuck for an answer.
But, Luke, that's him. It's not you.
Well, not yet, anyway. In any case, I have been offered a job with a consulting firm in Washington. I have to confess, it offers some really exciting challenges, but I'd have to deal with people all the time. I mean, like, the company and the government. No more nice, safe, theoretical stuff.
And which will you choose?
Supposedly, I am on vacation in order to make up my mind, and so far I have done a pretty good job of avoiding it.
Sometimes I think I'm doing a pretty good job of avoiding life altogether. Ash Manor is my retreat, just as the university is yours.
No more gloom and doom. The probability theory would show that we will both survive.
What's probability theory?
Merely a method of deciding which event is most likely under any given set of circumstances. For example, if you keep looking the way that you do, the probability is, roughly 0.9, that I will forget you're someone else's fiancé.
I see. In that case, we'd better change the circumstances.
She gazes at him and slowly stands. She walks to the door, then pauses and turns to walk back towards Luke. She stoops seductively and picks up her shoes from the floor.
It is after 11. And they say sin becomes rampant after 11.
She leaves by the tennis courts.
Out! Yes, it was, just over the line. Criminal insanity. That will be the verdict for one of your witches these days, Mr. Williams.
You think so, Mr. Outer?
Well, of course, legal insanity is difficult to define. Well, even the most dangerous lunatic may seem just like the next bear. Oh, he may feel that he has lots of enemies, but who doesn't what?
Interesting how easy it can be to murder a person, if you're clever.
You're probably experienced in that.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm afraid my work's just the dull stuff. Wills. Investments. Anyway, there's been no murders around here for as long as anyone remembers. Eh, Richard?
Unless someone finally finished off Tommy Pierce.
Tommy? A moron. Drive a person mad.
Tommy, the one that drowned?
No. That was that idiot Harry Carter drowned in the river.
That can't have been good for the water supply.
Oh, I say, that's very good. Wish I'd thought of it. That's the old Humblebee's face if I told him that.
Why, Miss Humblebee? Happy you felt that coming out.
I insisted. She needs a diversion.
Rose sits on a garden chair.
Miss Humblebee, my condolences.
Did you get the autopsy results, Dr. Thomas?
Amy died of opium derivatives.
Luke frowns.
I mean, heroin's pretty expensive, isn't it, for a housemaid to afford?
That's just the tragedy of it. The first time's always free.
Poor Amy.
Yes. Well, Amy always was too headstrong for her own good.
Hello, everyone. Right, who's for doubles? Rose? Come on, we'll challenge Bridget and Mr...
I'm not really up to it.
Nonsense, Rose. Do you good.
30-40.
Hey, nice shot, kid.
Lord Easterfield swipes at the air with his tennis racket. Bridget watches him, concerned.
Gordon? Are you all right?
Fine. Just play, will you?
His face is red and he glares at her. She sighs, and when he stops walking, she serves to him. The ball bounces in, but Lord Easterfield doesn't attempt to hit it.
No, please, Bridget, you must wait until I'm ready.
She pushes her hair out of her face and walks back to serve.
All right, Gordon, dear?
He nods.
Service.
The ball goes out.
Fault!
Luke frowns as Bridget serves again. The ball hits the net.
Double fault. My game and set. 8-6. It's not bad, although I serve myself. Well played, Mr. Better luck next time, eh?
I say, Major, fancy another game?
Why'd you do that? You gave him the set.
Don't be absurd. My game simply went to pieces. It happens, you know.
No, not like that. I mean, the first double fault of the day.
Yes, that was rather good.
You mean you admit it?
Obvious, my dear Watson.
Well, what the hell for? You're a good player.
Equally obvious, I would have thought. Gordon hates losing.
Well, terrific. Maybe I don't like it either.
But then you're not my bread and butter.
Come on, you're actually going to marry a creep like that for money?
Oh, I'll earn my keep all right with Gordon.
Yes, if you don't mind the job description.
She rolls her eyes.
You forget to kiss me goodnight after a month. Surely you can see what a child he is.
Yes, and what a cold-blooded gold digger you are.
Well, it's better than being a hot-blooded fool. You think I don't know what it is to love a man? Well, let me tell you about my first fiancé, Johnny. I cared for him like hell, and he threw me over for a widow with three chins and an income that makes Gordon look like a pauper. That sort of thing rather cures one of romance, don't you think?
Yes, I guess it could.
It did.
Well, good. Then maybe it'll cure me, because I was beginning to have some pretty romantic feelings about you.
What? Oh, really, Luke, we've only just met. Why don't you grow up and behave like an adult?
I am, And that's why I'm wrong for you, since you're only hot for children like Easterfield.
She watches him storm off. Major Horton and Luke walk along the drive with the Major's three...
It must have been very hard on you when Mrs. Horton died.
Yes. A lot of people were kind. Then Bridget came every day toward the end. Brought down hothouse grapes from Easterfield. That was awfully sporting of Bridget. Swallowing her pride that way.
Yes, she has plenty of that.
Well, my wife was a wonderful woman, but she did snub Bridget terribly after her father lost his money. Poor Bridget's had rather a time of it, expect you know, being her cousin.
Yes, well, she never said much about it.
No, well, she wouldn't, would she? But I still say that idiot Humbleby was the cause of it all. Anyone could see Bridget's father was dying, but Humbleby insisted he knew how to treat him. Thought the poor girl would go mad with grief when he died.
Augustus, heel, sir! Heel!
They walk out past the tall stone columns of Ash Manor. They walk into the village, passing Constable Reed.
Winnie, Augustus, heel, sir! Heel!
Well, I have to interview Tommy Pierce's mother. Can I buy you a drink?
Oh, no. I'll not set foot in Harry Carter's place, even if he is dead and gone to hell.
Luke sits at the bar with a pint, talking to the landlady.
I don't think it's right his lordship giving himself airs. I mean, it's not like he were real gentry, not like Miss Bridget or Miss Wainfleet.
Didn't I hear something about, Abbott and Amy Gibbs?
Of course, I'm never one to gossip. I never have been, but, I always said that Amy'd come to a bad end. Think how it broke poor Miss Bridget's heart. Amy stealing her Johnny away, the cheek of it. And I'll admit, it was naughty of Tommy laughing at Miss Bridget over it. But I think we'll all be happy to see her as Lady of the Manor. It's hers by right, after all.
Yes, that's interesting. But Mrs. Pierce, did I hear you say Amy stole Bridget's fiancé?
She nods. Luke sits with his dictaphone.
But maybe Bridget's covering up for Easterfield. She is protective of him. Oh, come on, Luke. You have to face it. She could have killed either one of them for revenge. Humbleby for letting her father die. Amy for stealing her fiancé, Johnny. And don't forget, she lied to you about that. She said he left her for a rich widow.
He stops the dictaphone and stares into space.
And what are you going to do about it, Luke?
His eyes slowly shift around the room, and he picks up the telephone receiver. He dials a number. Bridget wakes up when she hears a knock at her door. She turns on the bedside light and smiles. She's wearing a revealing silk nightdress. She opens the door and looks taken aback when she sees Luke.
I was hoping you were still awake, so I could say that I'm sorry about this afternoon.
Apology accepted.
She goes, leaving the door ajar.
And I wanted to say I think you're making a great mistake going for Easterfield when you could have me. But there's no accounting for taste.
And I need your help.
You idiot. I don't suppose any of this could have waited till morning.
Oh, it could. But I wanted to test your reactions to stress.
How am I doing?
You pass. Now, will you go somewhere with me tomorrow?
I can do anything I want.
She places her hands on his shoulders and gently kisses him.
Remember.
In the morning, Luke dresses and looks at his neatly made bed. He shakes the pillows and ruffles the bedsheets. He brushes his hair and pauses when he hears voices outside. He goes to the window and sees Bridget with a man carrying a blue chauffeur's hat.
But now he's got the wind up about all this, what's to stop him laying the blame on me?
Oh, Rivers, really, you've blown the thing entirely out of proportion.
Have I? Then you'll have no objection to me telling him then, will you?
Oh, now you know what a temper he has.
He's after me all the time. I don't like being questioned.
Rivers, really, it was nothing. You needn't concern yourself.
But he has to be told.
Oh, right, Rivers. I'll tell him. But please be good enough to let me do it in my own way.
We'll make it soon, miss. Or I can tell him myself.
That would be very foolish, Robert. Very foolish.
Luke's eyes dart around the room. Out on a street, Bridget gets out of her car and walks over to Luke.
You're certain that your friend Jimmy said to come here?
Mm-hmm. You are so beautiful when you're perplexed. Mwah.
He kisses her on the cheek and leads her into an office full of computers.
Luke, what are we doing here?
Ah. We, my dear, are going to find out who the killer really is.
You're joking.
No, I'm not. We are going to get the help we really need. Now, if you will just sit down.
They sit in front of a computer and Luke begins to type.
After yesterday, I decided it's much too complicated for us to figure out by ourselves. So I am going to program everything we know about the murders into the computer, and it is going to tell us the name of the murderer.
She looks sideways at him.
You are joking.
Bridget, this is my bread and butter. It's just a question of relative probabilities if we program it properly. Now, here are the names of the six victims.
After the names appear, the question means flashes up.
What does it say?
Well, it is asking how the victims were killed, and we don't know that in all cases.
He presses a key and the cause of death for each victim comes up.
At least we know what killed them.
The list includes drowning, narcotics, infection, and poison.
Do you ever start to think how smart the killer must be? Killed every one of them in a different way.
I know, it's terrifying.
The computer asks, motives?
Motives. Now that's a toughie. Better just input the classics for now and hope that we hit it.
He types, glancing at Bridget from time to time.
You know, lust, greed, fear. What else?
Revenge?
He holds up a finger.
Ah.
She watches him. The computer asks, opportunity?
Opportunity? That means who was in the right place at the right time, I suppose. But there's no way to know that.
Except in the case of Miss Fullerton. Would you agree that whoever killed Miss Fullerton probably killed all the others?
Yes. But how do you know who could have killed her?
Because she was killed on Derby Day. And we now know who was absent from the village on that day.
She raises an eyebrow.
That's why you were asking everyone about the derby. Oh, Luke, you are clever.
He smiles at her, and the computer compiles a list of suspects.
Our leading candidates. First, Abbott, the attorney, a womanizer. Ellsworthy, probably the last person to see Amy alive. Major Horton, whose wife died mysteriously. And Dr. Thomas, who knows all about drugs.
There must be others.
Well, I did check up on a couple of other people.
Bridget spins round in her chair.
There's me, of course. I was in London that day, too.
You mean with Easterfield?
Sorry to disappoint you, but I know where Gordon was, but you don't know where I was.
Bridget, I don't think you understand. I'm not keeping a list on everybody in Witchwood, you know, just last night.
That's why I want you to be sure.
I guess you think I'm playing some stupid little game or something. I happen to believe in this stuff, and I'm very damn good at it.
I'm sorry. It just all seems so fantastic to me.
No. You want your name in, I'll put your name in, okay?
Her name flashes up on the screen below the list of suspects. She looks sadly at it and forces a smile.
Now, we're ready. At least I am. Are you?
For what?
To find out who the killer is. Are you ready?
Oh, Luke.
She looks at him wearily, resting her head against her hand. Luke looks at the computer. Her face drops and she stares in horror, flashing on the screen. Bridget. in a pub.
Cheers, thank you.
Boy, if you could have seen the look on her face when her name popped up on that computer.
He grins.
And I thought Gordon was a child. Really, Luke, you have a most peculiar sense of humor.
That'll teach you to make fun of my work.
Oh, why shouldn't I? After all that, your marvelous computer still couldn't come up with the name of the real killer.
She walks off.
Luke, am I to understand that I have put the entire resources of Oxford University at your disposal so that you can play a joke on this poor girl?
It's not a joke, Jimmy.
Do you mean to say Bridget's the murderer?
I don't know anything for sure. I just know that I had some pretty good reasons for suspecting her. So I thought that if I had her name flash on that screen, she'd come unglued, she'd tell me everything. I'm beginning to remember now why I don't get involved with people.
Look here, old friend. You've got to give up all this sleuthing nonsense and go to the authorities.
Jimmy, I'm in love with her.
Jimmy raises his eyebrows.
Well done. But if you know she's guilty...
I don't know anything for sure. Right now it's all speculation.
What if she is?
I don't know. But I am going to have a talk with the one woman who really knows the truth.
Luke waits on a doorstep.
Who is it?
Miss Wainfleet, it's Luke Williams.
The door opens very slowly and Miss Wainfleet peers out.
Oh, Mr. Williams, someone tried to kill me. On my way home, I stopped to give those petunias a bit of water. I was simply standing here when this thing whizzed past my head from up there.
The collection room.
I didn't dare touch it.
You didn't tell anyone?
Oh, I was so frightened, I went straight home.
Ellsworthy.
Luke picks up the heavy ornament and begins to walk.
Don't tell lies to me, Rivers. You ungrateful lout. You're fired. Fired, you understand? What's more, you're going to regret this.
Don't worry. I'm off. And it's you who are going to regret this. You stupid idiot.
Oh, Nori, I'm sorry you should have to witness such a disgraceful scene, but that man...
Gordon, what on earth's happening?
Nothing, my dear. I've just dismissed Rivers.
Rivers? Gordon, what's happened? What did he say to you?
Nothing, my dear, that need be repeated. Just a pack of filthy lies. How dare he talk to me like that?
Now, Gordon, you really must try not to get upset.
Something very serious will happen to that young man. You mark my words.
Yes, yes, Gordon, I'm sure.
They go. Luke runs to Bridget and picks her up.
Luke, what is wrong with you?
Nothing. Nothing is wrong anymore, and that's the wonderful part. I love you, and everything is okay now.
Luke, will you wait a moment? You've got me so confused, I can't think.
All right, all right. You'll just take one thing at a time. Number one is that I love you. And number two is that I've been absolutely wrong about everything. I really do know who the murderer is now.
She knew? Miss Wainfleet knew?
It doesn't matter, because I know now. It's Ellsworth.
Ellsworth?
Yes, yes. I will explain all of this to you later, but right now I have to see the constable.
Luke, wait. Maybe you're wrong about Ellsworthy.
No, I know what I'm doing. May I borrow your car? Oh, I'd take care of Miss Wainfleet if I were you. She's a little shook up. And I really do love her.
He grins and drives off in her car. She watches him go. A smile slowly creeps across her face, but quickly disappears again. At the police station, Luke has the ornament which was thrown from the collection room.
You don't believe a word of it.
Mr. Williams, isn't it? Yeah. Well, Mr. Williams, I do appreciate your concern. And it's a colourful story, heaven knows. But you see, sir, here in England, we really do prefer something in the nature of solid evidence before we go about arresting people.
Solid evidence? What do you call that? I saw it in Ellsworthy's shop.
Yeah, well, it certainly is, certainly solid at any rate, isn't it, sir? And no end of fingerprints, I'll wager.
But how can you ignore
evidence, Mr. Williams, that's all I ask. Real evidence.
Luke bangs his fists down on the desk and storms out in frustration. He gets into the car and speeds off down the road. Back in the police station office, Constable Reed watches from the window. The constable slowly turns to look at the door. Rivers enters the police station office looking anxious.
I've come to tell the truth.
Nighttime. A light flickers in the window of Mr. Ellsworthy's house. Torchlight shines around the antiques room, on the bong and onto a desk. A hand opens a drawer on the desk. The hand belongs to Luke. He rummages through the desk and finds a series of sketches of Amy. The sketches have been scribbled over in thick black pencil. In another drawer, Luke finds a small metal box. Inside are four thick rolled joints and some foil. Luke smells one of the joints, then replaces it in the box. He lifts up some papers lying in the bottom of the drawer. Underneath are half a dozen small plastic pouches containing white powder. Outside, Mr. Ellsworthy approaches the house and turns on a light. Luke looks up, startled, and rushes to hide in a cupboard. He closes the door just as Mr. Ellsworthy comes into the antiques room. Luke watches Mr. Ellsworthy through a crack in the cupboard door. Mr. Ellsworthy rubs his hands with white cloth, which he flings on the back of a chair. The cloth is stained red. He turns off the light in the antiques room, and a light upstairs in the main part of the house comes on. Luke cautiously creeps out to the open door, glancing up towards the light where Mr. Ellsworthy is. He runs out down the drive, looking around as he goes. When he reaches the end of the drive, he slows to a walk. He passes a red phone box. Bridget jumps out.
Thank God you're all right.
What are you doing here? I told you not to come.
Oh, look, thank God you're all right. I saw Ellsworthy coming back, and I thought...
She clings to him.
Hey, it's all right. It's okay. It's all right. Hey. Maybe I ought to go back inside.
Oh, this is no time for jokes. I thought he might have killed you.
They gaze at each other, and she gently strokes his neck.
One, you know.
One. What about one?
Me? If you really want me.
If I really want you.
Luke, listen. If you knew what I've done simply out of pride, I've let the past rule me as if which would the world. I don't want to be lady of the manor, not really. I just want love.
Got that?
He leans to her and gently kisses her as tears roll down her cheeks.
I know. I truly feel that. That's why I want to get right away from here before the past overwhelms me completely. Take me with you.
She holds his face and he smiles. He kisses her forehead and they embrace. Luke and Bridget walk in through the gates of Ash Manor.
But I want to go right away. You will come with me to talk to Gordon, won't you? I know what a temper he has.
Bridget trips over something on the ground. Two legs stick out from under a huge stone urn, which has fallen to the ground. Luke picks up a blue hat.
The chauffeur.
Bridget gets to her feet. She stares in shock at her hand. It's covered in blood. The field.
Dead. Struck down by divine wrath.
A remarkable theory, Lord Easterfield.
Well, the Lord moves in mysterious ways, you know.
Does he indeed, sir?
Well, how can you doubt it? Rivers abuses me, and what happens? Where is he now?
Gordon, please come into the house with me.
They go, leaving Luke with the constable.
The word according to Easterfield.
Yes. He's a riot, isn't he? Almost as funny as I am. It's too bad Rivers isn't alive to enjoy it.
Oh, I take you quite serious now, sir. Quite serious indeed. Except on one point. Ellsworthy is not your man.
Luke watches him curiously as he walks off.
But I saw Ellsworthy's hands. They were covered with blood.
Ah, it was you who broke into his shop last night. I expect he'll be lodging a complaint against you once his hand clears up. He cut it, you know. Changing attire. Outside the witch's head inn. Plenty of witnesses to it.
He pats Luke on the shoulder.
Then Ellsworthy couldn't have done it.
This might be interesting to you, by the way. The CID tell me that the car that killed Miss Fullerton has now been identified. Plenty of witnesses to it.
He pats Luke on the shoulder.
Then Ellsworthy couldn't have done it.
This might be interesting to you, by the way. The CID tell me that the car that killed Miss Fullerton has now been identified. It was a large maroon car, chauffeur-driven. A man in the crowd phoned last night and gave the license number. He hadn't actually seen it, you understand, but the woman beside him had, so she gave him the number. Only he wasn't sure he had it right.
Well, did he or didn't he?
The constable leisurely lights a cigarette.
Did. But the chauffeur had an alibi, and the car belongs to one of the gentry, so that was that. However, sometimes it's difficult to see what's right under your nose.
But you said the chauffeur had an alibi.
On Derby Day, he drove his charge to London, but then he was given the afternoon off. And when the car was returned, it had a damaged front bumper.
How do you know all this?
He was asked to fix the bumper on the sly, which, being a loyal sort, he did. And when he was questioned, he lied, being a loyal sort.
But I don't see...
Please, please, Mr. Williams. You're missing the best part. Despite his loyalty, he was dismissed. He came straight and told all. Poor bloke. He had no notion of any connection with Miss Fullerton's death. He thought the car had been in an accident which had gone unreported.
Then it was...
They turn to look at Bridget standing in the drive.
Be at the station at midday.
Luke nods at the constable who leaves. Luke smiles at Bridget and walks over to her. She looks concerned.
Luke, what did he tell you?
Nothing. Nothing you don't already know.
Luke sits in Miss Wainfleet's room stroking Wonky Poo.
Please believe I didn't really know. Not for certain. I kept hoping it wasn't Gordon.
But it is. Why did you listen to your family? Why didn't you just marry him anyway?
No, you don't understand. I would have defied them. I would have defied the world. Oh, it all sounds so absurd. You see, I had a little pet canary, Moonlight. And Gordon couldn't bear it somehow that I could love anything else. Even a little bird. And one day, he just snatched him away from me and wrung his neck. Right before my eyes.
And that was when you broke off the engagement.
I could never forget how he seemed to enjoy it.
But the years passed, and I never saw him do anything like that again.
Oh, he was always hot-tempered and proud, but...
Then these accidents began happening. And he began to talk about divine justice and retribution. He raved on and on to me about how people had to be punished for their sins against him.
That's what he said about Rivers.
Oh, Mr. Williams, I haven't known what to do. I've thought 100 times of trying to talk to Bridget, to warn her somehow. But you see how that would seem to her.
Well, you don't have to worry about it anymore, because they're on to him now. And besides, Bridget has already decided to leave him.
Leave him? Oh, heavens. We've got to get her away. Don't you see what he might do?
Oh, fool, Avery. Elsewhere they brought these days ago. I'd be most anxious to see them. Yeah, lovely, isn't it? Now, where's the other one that must have been a pair?
Gordon, I feel so ashamed. You're taking the news so well. You've every right to be furious with me.
Oh, isn't that a beauty?
A knife.
Perfect workmanship. And what an edge. Bridget! Oh, hello, Honoria. I expect you've heard. Bridget's decided to go off with Mr. This fellow here. So they won't be with us long.
Lord Eastfield, I'd like to offer my apology if you'll accept it. It wasn't my intention to take Bridget away from you. The fact of it is we fell in love.
Yes. Well, I only hope it is love you're after, and not the fortune that'll come to Bridget one day.
Oh, Gordon, we've been all over that. I don't want your money.
It's not your decision, Bridget. Oh, I know how they all sneer at me. Claim that I only prospered at your father's expense, and I'll not have it. I had intended to prove them all liars by doing you the honor of marrying you as well as leaving you my estate. Come to that, my dear. May not be a problem anyway, since no doubt I'll outlive you. Both of you.
God.
Listen, if you're threatening us...
Threatening you? How absurd. It's nothing to do with me, you know. I'm only the instrument of a higher power.
Gordon, please, don't start.
It's happened every time. That wretched Pierce boy, Lydia, Carter, Humbleby, Amy, Rivers, all my enemies cast down and exterminated. But you understand, don't you, Honoria?
Of course, Gordon, of course I understand. And I'm certain you're right. But you know, Gordon, dear, you've let yourself get upset.
Upset? Oh, nonsense, son. I'm feeling perfectly fit. It's amazing, isn't it? They all die.
He goes.
Come on, let's get out of here.
I'll just get my bag and go home.
Well, what are you going to do? Let him go on killing people? You can't protect him anymore.
Gordon is childish, and he's pompous, and he certainly has a temper. But Luke, deep down, he is harmless. I promise you the man wouldn't hurt a fly.
Oh, yeah? Well, he sure as hell would choke a canary.
A canary?
That's why Miss Wainfleet broke off their engagement. He killed a canary.
She said that? Miss Wainfleet said that?
Yes, she said that. And then there's also the car. Not that you didn't suspect that already.
What about the car?
Bridget, he ran down Miss Fullerton in the Rolls.
I don't believe that.
A woman in the crowd saw the license number. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rough with you. Look, I have to get to Constable Reed's office.
The constable already knows about Gordon?
Yes. Now, are you coming with me?
Well... I need a little time to pull myself together.
Bridget stands with her back to Luke, watching Miss Wainfleet come out of the house.
If I could meet you somewhere, at Miss Wainfleet's, I'll meet you there later.
All right.
Luke.
Yeah.
She bites her lip.
I hope the constable would be discreet about this.
Well, it's obvious now that Gordon will do anything to avoid public humiliation. If Reed trots this out and makes a big show, Gordon might even kill himself rather than face it.
Luke runs off in one direction and Bridget in the other.
I can hardly believe it. Gordon, a murderer.
I felt certain too. But now that I've had time to reflect more calmly, well, do think just for a moment how cleverly it was all done. And whatever our feelings for Gordon, let us admit that he does not have the kind of devious intelligence it must have taken to manage all those murders.
But it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Take Carrie Carter. He did laugh at Gordon and in public, too. And shortly afterwards, he's drowned. And Tommy's case was similar. And poor Rivers, killed at the ferry gates, rather obvious.
Perhaps too obvious. Almost perhaps as if a very cunning person were trying to make it seem that a less cunning person had done it.
Bridget turns away.
Why, Bridget, what's the matter?
Nothing, I'm fine.
Oh, dear, I've upset you. What about a nice walk? Do us both good.
Bridget turns slowly to face her, her hand resting on the mantelpiece.
A walk? Yes, Luke won't be finished for a while yet. That should give me just enough time.
She looks at the mantelpiece and smiles at Miss Wainfleet.
Lord Easterfield looks guilty, all right. But then perhaps that's precisely what someone is after. Someone will find it profitable to get Lord Easterfield out of the way, even to see him dead.
If there were such a person, why would they kill all those people? Why not just kill Easterfield?
Too risky. Especially if the person was someone close to Lord Easterfield. Oh. Well, then perhaps we should question Miss Bridget Conway. I'm sure she'll come up with some answers for us.
No!
He storms out. Bridget and Miss Wainfleet walk along the bridge.
You know, Miss Wainfleet, you may be onto something about Gordon and the murders. For some of them must have taken some quite brilliant planning, to say nothing of nerve.
Yes, you do see.
Take Amy, for example. She certainly wouldn't have let Gordon put a needle in her arm.
Oh, but there are other ways to kill a person with heroin. I read up on it afterwards.
Did you? How very thorough of you.
Bridget goes in one direction and Miss Wainfleet walks into some woods. Bridget turns and follows her.
And Bridget, surely it can't have been a simple matter to induce blood poisoning in Dr. Humbleby.
Of course, Gordon could have learned of such things from his visit to the laboratory.
What about Lady Horton? She died long before Gordon went to that laboratory. Are we to believe that he really knew how to poison those grapes himself?
What grapes?
They pause on a low bridge with no handrails.
Why, the grapes he sent from his hothouse. You took them to Lydia yourself, didn't you, Bridget?
Yes, so I did. Wasn't aware you knew that, Miss Wainfleet. You must tell me what else you know.
Bridget stares at her. Luke is outside Miss Wainfleet's house. Someone answers the door and points into the distance. Luke runs in that direction. At a different house, the butler shakes his head at the constable.
Why so silent, Miss Wainfleet? I'm waiting to hear the rest.
I don't know anymore. I don't really know anything. It's all just speculation. Probably quite foolish.
Foolish? Oh, no, you were never foolish. You're quite clever. In fact, maybe almost as clever as the killer.
I don't think you realise what you're saying.
You look foolish enough, all right, proper Miss Wainfleet. In her proper little gloves, you wear them everywhere, don't you?
Bridget, you must stop this.
Why do you walk through the fields in gloves, oh fat white woman whom nobody loves? Where did I hear that? I can't remember, but it fits you perfectly because nobody does love you, Miss Wainfleet. Nobody does and nobody ever will.
Please.
You think Gordon did, but you're wrong. You never had him. You never had anyone or anything. Except that cleverness of yours. And that cleverness could get you into trouble. Couldn't it, Miss Wainfleet?
Bridget walks purposefully towards Miss Wainfleet. Luke races through fields, ducking under branches as he runs. The two women fight and clutch at each other's throats. Luke spots them and sprints over from the other bridge. The women continue to fight as Luke and the constable run closer. Miss Wainfleet tears at Bridget's clothes. Bridget has her hands around Miss Wainfleet's neck as Luke runs up.
Bridget!
He shakes Bridget.
Bridget! You almost made it, didn't you? Did you?
Or did you already get Easterfield, like everybody else?
Bridget laughs manically as Miss Wainfleet lies on the ground. Miss Wainfleet slowly pulls a dagger out of her bag. Miss Wainfleet lunges at Luke, and he struggles to keep the dagger away from him. Constable Reed runs towards the scene. Bridget covers her eyes. The constable arrives and prizes the dagger out of Miss Wainfleet's hand.
I say!
Lord Easterfield appears on the other side of the river and stares at them.
What's she doing to Miss Wainfleet?
At the house.
She's admitted everything?
Admitted it, yes, miss. And she wouldn't be satisfied till she'd given us every detail.
Yes, it was awful. She was so proud of her cleverness.
I know. I tried to play on that to get a confession out of her, and she was going to tell me. Just before killing me. That was to be your final crime, Gordon, killing me, because I was leaving you. That's why she asked you to meet her in the meadow at midday, I suppose. You'd be found there with my body. And your dagger.
But how on earth did she get hold of my dagger?
Oh, she stole it this morning off the table. It still had your fingerprints on it.
Of course. Her proper little gloves.
Poor Honoria, those rages of hers. Do you know, she once killed her own pet canary. Just because it pecked her. I simply couldn't feel the same about her after that.
Then it was you that broke off the engagement.
I told you how tender-hearted he is. When you reported to me that story about the canary, I knew Miss Wainfleet must be lying to make Gordon look guilty.
Smart girl.
It's really just a matter of knowing a little about human nature, Luke. Perhaps that's why your famous computer couldn't come up with the right answer.
No, don't blame the computer. I didn't program Miss Wainfleet as a suspect.
Oh, don't feel badly about it, Mr. Williams. No, she even took me in. Had me convinced that the Almighty was wreaking vengeance on all my enemies. But it isn't altogether a bad theory. But what I don't understand is this. How did my Rolls come to be identified as the car that bowled over Miss Fullerton?
Because I had the Rolls on Derby Day. That's why I knew it couldn't be you, Gordon.
And you bashed the fender.
Miss Wainfleet knew Miss Fullerton was on to her, so she followed her to London. She saw her chance and pushed Miss Fullerton under a passing car. The driver of the car failed to stop, so she simply gave your license number to a man in the crowd.
But how did she manage all the other murders? Some are obvious, but what about Humbleby, for example?
Now, when Humbleby went to visit her, Miss Wainfleet ran her scissors into his right hand and then insisted on bandaging him. But first, she infected the bandage with discharge from Wonky Poole's ear.
Lord Easterfield's face drops.
Good Lord. If you'll forgive me.
He hands his drink to the constable and walks out.
And the others?
She killed Lydia Horton with garden spray on the grapes, little by little. And then the night that Amy came home from London, Miss Wainfleet brought her a nice cup of tea, loaded with heroin.
Bridget raises her eyebrows.
Imagine the old witch doing all that just because his lordship jilted her so long ago. All for revenge.
Yes. For one master passion swallowed up the rest.
Beg your pardon, sir.
Essay on Man, Epistle 2.
Oh, yes.
But it is hard to believe that so much love could turn into so much hate.
Is it?
Luke tilts his head quizzically.
Excuse me. I must go to Paul.
She goes, leaving Luke looking morosely at the floor. Constable Reed puts a bicycle clip on his trouser leg and gets on his bicycle. Luke watches him with a suitcase in each hand.
I still like your squad car.
The constable stops and turns around. Luke places his suitcases on the floor.
We have returned to the use of the bicycle in the interest of economy, environment, and if I may say so, sir, efficient policing.
Luke closes his eyes and bows. The constable continues, wobbling along on his bicycle. Luke turns towards the house as Bridget puts down a handbag and walks towards him.
Gordon's already hard at work on his next series of articles. Famous female criminals throughout the ages. He says he's far too busy a man for marriage anyway.
Good. Does that mean you're going with me?
How could I possibly go off with a man who thinks me capable of murder?
And loves you anyway. I guess I just couldn't believe that I could get that lucky. To have what I want. To have you.
Too improbable for you?
Well, at least you know the worst about me. That ought to count for something.
Do I? No more questions, no more curiosities.
All right. Where did you go on Derby Day?
I went to see Johnny.
Johnny? You're kidding. I thought he was no good. I thought he jilted you.
He was, he did. I just wanted to be sure, that's all.
Her face softens.
I took one look at him and I realized what an idiot I'd been and I left.
They watch a car approach on the drive.
Seem to have a habit of choosing the wrong man, haven't I?
Jimmy pulls up.
Hello, you two. Thought I'd just pop by, make sure you are still alive.
I hope so.
Splendid. Then we've just got time to make the Royal Ascot meeting. If we hurry.
Jimmy, Ascot's not for another week.
Quite. Just enough time for you to work out who's going to win the Gold Cup. Well, are you coming?
Well, are we?
She turns away.
Let me rephrase the question. Will you marry me?
She turns back and beams at him. He grins at her, and they grab their suitcases.
There's one thing I think you should know.
Uh-huh.
I made Gordon cut me out of his will.
Now I know the worst about you.
They jump into the car and speed off down the drive with Jimmy following. ITFC audio description.